and welcome back to Inside Right. Cody, a returning guest. How are you?
Mate, I am fabulous. I got, obviously we were meant to be on last weekend. I unfortunately had COVID. Funnily enough, I know we said we'd record on Saturday last week. Yeah. Obviously now it's the 20, what date is it, 27th?
The 27th today, yeah.
Australia Day was yesterday.
Yep.
That was actually the day I got my negative test result.
Oh, good.
I was still under the weather, but so probably don't want to risk it with you, of course. But, yeah, definitely a lot better now. It's been a bit of a weird week, but, yeah, definitely in a much better headspace now.
There you go. So so let's just get this straight. You had COVID.
Yeah.
And my sister got COVID and my mum got COVID. So it's probably best that we rescheduled for this week.
Yeah, well, hopefully you don't end up catching it. You sound fine. I know you said you were sick during the week.
Okay, here's a secret. Do you know the South American or Uruguayan drink mate?
Yeah.
Been drinking that for 2 months, not been sick, and I feel great.
You know what? I've heard that actually has a lot of health benefits. I've heard it's a great substitute for coffee.
Oh.
So, you know what? I've got to get my...
I drink both. Seriously, two coffees and a mate a day.
Far out. Yeah, my fiance is not a massive coffee drinker. I know she's trying to hold it back a little bit. Her mum's a very big coffee drinker. She could smash like 6 cups a day, and her cups aren't small. They're like mini bowls.
Maybe she mini bowls of caffeine.
Yeah, literally. So you never know. Maybe mate is a good substitute for it.
Seriously, like even playing, I feel like I'm playing so much better now. So yeah, give the mate a go.
Definitely.
Speaking of playing, you were a part of a five-a-side game. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I know we're going to be talking about Unite Round soon, but this was interesting, honestly. I remember someone, A-League Fan TV, a guy named Brock, from Adelaide. I remember him putting it up something on his story saying would people be interested in like an A-League or Australian football.
Yep.
I think he was trying to think about it in the ilk of a charity match, but... Well, I don't think we're in a
excuse me.
That's all good. I don't think we're in a position to actually go and sell tickets or anything like that.
Yeah.
But shout out Harry. He managed to put it all together.
Good on him. How old is he?
14 or something like that. I said it to his mum as well. That if I had that confidence at 14, I don't know where I'd be today. But the fact that he's starting so early, you never know where he's gonna end up in his career.
Exactly.
But he said something, oh yeah, during Unite Round I want to see if we can get a whole lot of us together and do a little five-a-side match.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, well, good. I need to lose a little bit of weight, so any bit of exercise I can get in, I'm obviously going to go
for. Bit of an incentive.
Yeah, especially looking at some of those photos and seeing rolls. Mind you, we had professional photographers, but like high-quality photographers there. So we got some good photos out of it, and I'm sitting there looking at me going, oh, I haven't got my best angles here today. But back to the actual five-a-side match.
Yeah.
We had, so you mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, sure, look, sounds like a good idea. And the lead up to it, I start realizing, oh, like they're actually like promoting it and everything, like telling people to come down. It's just a thing at Ultra Football and their backfield. Yeah. But yeah, it was interesting because
did you get a crowd?
I hope this doesn't sound disrespectful to the guys that were there, because there were some fabulous people there, some great, genuinely great dudes. I didn't think anyone would show up.
Mm.
In the lead up, I didn't think this was going to be advertised. I just thought it was going to be a thing of, oh, yeah, we go, maybe we'll film a few videos. And
Australian content creators kick it out. Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of the end of it. And then I think it was the day before, Drew Dolan messaged me and went, hey, is there any chance you can send me a photo for our graphic for the day? And I was like sitting there. One part of me was thinking, oh, shit, I don't have a professional photo of myself. And the other part of me was like, holy shit, we're actually advertising this. This is crazy. Wow. But, we got there. I think about 5 or 10 people showed up, which 5 or 10 people more than I was expecting.
100%.
But honestly, like, aside from that, like, I didn't go and see any of the people that showed up to kind of watch it. But just meeting some of the guys there, I think I'd met Joe Kay, obviously. I haven't actually done any content with him, but, like, he's just a great
dude. You know him, yeah.
We do 90% the same stuff. Our paths are eventually going to cross, and I can't praise the dude enough. He's genuinely a nice guy.
Yeah,
not.
Well, he's been on. He came on
literally
in October.
Did I mention his name to you the last time I was on? Like even off air?
I'm not sure.
Because I thought I did.
Maybe you did. Yes.
So to be fair, I think because I was one of the first people he had on that was like directly in Australian football. I know a lot of people were like, oh shit, who's this guy? And then I don't know if that helped you out a little bit. I can't really talk myself up here. That's not a good idea.
I think it would have been around the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
When I saw your page, the Common Football Fan, and I started loving your stuff. So I thought I'd get you on.
It's a gateway to Joe as well. Mind you, he's like 10 times bigger than I am.
But, and then he followed me.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, let's have a look at these guys. And it's like, crazy. Damn, this is, that's what I mean. Australia like, needs this, like, right? Australia needs this.
Like, literally, you look on TikTok, I think he's got 4.5 times the amount of followers I do. So you're not talking about small fish or anything.
No.
But like, yeah, so I knew him. I got to meet, like I mentioned the guy's name before, Brock. Jude, I'd met a couple times before. First time I met Lockie, Coast Watch Football.
Yep.
Very nice dude. Just some other guys that I'd only seen very briefly as well that I got to meet, or some people I got to meet to for the first time as well. But look, Australian football is a very small community, so the any chance that any of us can get together really and do stuff for each other.
Well, a couple of years, fantastic. We might do an Australian Simon charity match.
Mate,
how does that sound?
Believe it or not, Tristan McManus, who does the he's one of the sideline commentators for the A-League. I'm pretty sure he's trying to organise, not necessarily with Australian football people, but like Australian celebrities, a charity match next October. So keep an eye for that, because from what I've heard, some big TikTokers, some big actors are lined up to be in that. So that could actually be a very, very good day out.
Yeah, well, I did not know that. Let's get into the football. This must be football heaven for you at the moment. The Asian Cup's on.
Yeah, I wish the times were a little bit better. Staying up at 2:30 in the morning is a bit of a head door.
Yeah, but especially drawing to Uzbekistan. But thoughts on the Asian Cup so far?
Oh, I love it. Honestly, I love Asian football. It's genuinely, I said it to you earlier today, off air, of course, but I genuinely believe Asian football is the most disrespected football on the planet.
Oceanian football? I'm joking.
Oceanian football half deserves disrespect. That thing is not run in any way, shape, or form currently. Well, Australian football has its flaws in the way that it's run.
Yep.
It makes Oceanian football makes Asian Asian football. Oceanian football makes Australian football look like a genuinely thriving business. Oceanian football has a lot of issues. I know a couple of people that could go on that topic a bit deeper, but from what I've heard from them, a lot of it's fucked.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why that's disrespected, but Asia genuinely has so much quality football.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some of these games, some of these teams that you play, it's not in the mainstream or anything like that. You have sides like Iraq, sides like Saudi Arabia, even when you go a little bit lower, or sides like Syria.
Bahrain's been quite decent.
We beat Bahrain 2-0, but they've had some very, very good games. There's a name.
Malaysia drew to South Korea.
Yeah, there's a name from one of our own strikers or midfielders. His name escapes me, but he's Ali Madan or something like that. I've probably butchered his last name. I do apologise to the Bahraini community. Malaysia, fantastic. Indonesia, fantastic. Vietnam finished last in their group, and they had a very, very good opening game against Japan. Even Iraq they played very well against.
Yeah.
They've been unlucky to come out of this tournament winless, really. So it shows how, not just how tight the quality is in Asian football, but how good it is as well, because you can't say the quality is decreasing and that's why it's getting tight. Japan are slowly becoming one of the best nations in world football.
Yeah,
the fact that Iraq's going out and beating them, and in all honesty, you're watching that Iraq game, they played some great football. As much as they're not holding onto the ball, they're not playing the same way that Japan is, of course not. But what they can do,
they've got the quality to finish chances.
Exactly. Yep. People say it all the time, heading's a dying art. Hussein, genuinely expert heading ability. It was actually very, very fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like that game. Mind you, Japan in general is just a fun team to watch, but there's so much that I've loved about this tournament. Just even seeing some players that, you know, I wasn't aware of. One of my favorite players I've watched so far, Ali Jassim of Iraq, only got his first goal contributions against Vietnam, came off the bench, got 2 assists, but watching him in that Japan game, he should have got the assist for Hussein's first goal. I really hope I've got the name right, that it is Hussein. Otherwise, I'm going to look really stupid. But Ali just
cancelled. I'm joking.
I'm going to butcher pronunciations today. But
it's all good. It's all good. It's inside right. All right, chill out. It's not Channel 7. Keep going.
I'm not overly ethnic. I don't know how to pronounce his name sometimes. I do my best to learn it. But anyway, Ali Jassim.
Yep.
Genuinely technical ability off the charts. Like, he's someone I could see moving to a top 5 team. Maybe the next 5 years or so. Well,
yep.
19 years old as well. And to do that, what he's done to a Japan defence that are all playing at a high level, whether it be at some of the best teams in the J-League or playing in Europe.
Yep.
You've got great, great players there. And he was making them look like they were amateurs.
Yep.
And he's playing for, I can't remember the club off the top of my head, but he's playing for someone in Iraq.
Mm.
You don't look at the Iraqi league and think this is high quality. But a lot of these players, they don't move to bigger leagues when they have the ability to, because they're earning so much money where they are. It's almost the point of, why would I go to, say, the championship, take a pay cut when I can stay in my own league, in my own country,
and
earn more money? So there's just between seeing players kind of make a name for themselves, countries that even like I've spoken a lot about players in general, but even countries, another one that should really be mentioned is Tajikistan.
Yep.
First ever time of the tournament.
And they're through
in the round of 16.
Yep.
A country that, you know, there's obviously, I'm pretty sure there's political issues in that country as well, which look, Central Asia, it's not always the most peaceful part of the world, but mm-hmm. a country that just in general in football, maybe 5-10 years ago were nothing. And now they're able to get themselves into an Asian Cup and not just get there, but get themselves to the round 16 as well. And you look at a side like Vietnam, who's been making good strides, they're out of the tournament. So, you know, as much as these nations may not be on the front of the odd or the average football fan's mind, there's some really, really good quality there.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Let's go back to the Socceroos now. Thoughts on their campaign? Because personally, I think we've been quite lucky.
We've been lucky, but I'll tell you what, we haven't been lucky at a lot of Asian Cups. This is actually statistically our second best ever run in a group stage.
Wow. Yes, it is. I saw that. Yep. 7 points.
7 points. So 7 points is the most we've ever gotten in a group stage. That was in 2011 when, look, it wasn't the best ever soccer record we've had, but it was petering out of the golden generation. Harry Kuehl was still there. So that says all you need. Now you had Harry Kuehl, Tim Cahill. Two of the three goats of Australian football, include Mark Viduka. Oh, Australian men's football, not forgetting Sam Kerr here.
Yeah.
But you take that into consideration. Even we had the 2007 Asian Cup where you had our golden generation. You had Mark Viduka added into it as well. Mark Schwartz was there. Mark Schwartz was at 2011, actually, mind you. Lucas Neal, the best Australian side that we've ever taken to an Asian Cup. We came second in our group, lost to Iraq, who ended up winning the tournament.
Yes.
But
we lost 2-1 with the Mark Viduka header.
3-1.
3-1.
But that does escape me. Yep. Look, Viduka was probably the best tournament he's had in Australian jersey, at least if you don't include the Oceanian stuff, because let's be real, we're not including the Oceanian stuff. Yep. But mind you, I do have a love for Oceanian football, but there's a reason why it does have the stature that it does, and it does relate to the part of the world that they're in. But even that side couldn't get past the round of 16, the quarterfinals. Sorry, they didn't have a round of 16 at that stage, but couldn't get past the first knockout stage. Came second in their group. They were lucky. Well, not lucky, but they beat Thailand. That was their only win of the tournament. 4-0 win. Three of those goals came after the 80th minute or after the 75th minute at the very least. So we don't have a very good record in general at the Asian Cup, the tournament that we won it. We only finished 6 points. We came second in our group. South Korea beat us on the last day, mind you, with a heavily rotated squad. So when you take that sort of stuff into consideration, even 2019, first one under Graham Arnold, didn't play very well, kind of scraped through that, came second. Taking that into consideration, I don't think you can be disappointed with the result. The football leaves a lot to be desired. I'm not going to deny that. We've got a better squad than what we did in 2015 and 2019. 2015, considering we won that tournament,
of course,
we probably didn't have the right to looking back on it.
Yep.
Because it wasn't an overly quality-filled squad. 2019 wasn't that great either.
If you look at our... As you were saying before, if you look at our team on paper now, the Socceroos, I think you could argue that if you minus Tim Cahill from the 2015 squad, it's better.
Yeah, probably. Paper. And you look at some of the players that we've left behind as well. Alex Robertson, obviously, he's got the hammy injury now, but there's Alex Asati as well. There's good players that haven't actually made the cut.
I've just got a question for you, because we're talking about some young guns. Should Nestori Irinkunda be in that Socceroos squad?
No. 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 Look,
I just thought I'd shoot that out.
No. Look, I understand the question. My mum actually says to me all the time, like, he's going to Bayern. Why isn't he playing for the Socceroos? He should clearly be good enough. But at the end of the day, look, he's still a young kid, very, very raw in that regard. He's not – put it this way, there's no one in the Socceroos squad currently that I sit there and go, Nestori should be in there over him.
Yep.
When you're talking about the 23s, yes. And the one thing that does frustrate me with Nestori and Kondo is for some reason we treat it like, oh, okay, he's a kid. We've got to be careful with how he progresses. But then the other young players that we have that are of not similar quality but still good quality in this country because they don't have the same media pressure around them, that those questions aren't being asked about them and they get thrown into the deep end straight away.
Yeah.
Daniel Benny's the best example. They were both at the Under-17 Asian Cup. Nestori and Kondo took a lot of the plaudits of that game, that tournament, even though we didn't really do that well.
No. Nah.
Daniel Benny was another quality player, but because the same media hype isn't around him, he's quietly just worked his way in a Perth starting lineup at 17. No one questioned it.
Yeah.
So it's I don't blame you for asking the question, but and it does speak to the fact that as an Australian football community, for some reason we don't take Nestori as seriously as what we can. He should be in the 23, 100%. But I can guarantee you when we go to Olympic qualifiers, he won't be in that squad. Mm. And it will frustrate a lot of people, and rightly so.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. Who is the dark horse of this competition? And then who's going to win the competition?
Who's going to win the competition?
What's your predictions? Oh. Midway through predictions.
Before the tournament, I would have said Japan in a heartbeat. It's but hard to say. There's no one that's been overly
dominant. Outstanding.
Yeah, dominant, 100%. Yep. That's probably the best word. Because, not Iraq, Qatar's probably been that side that's like, okay, they're the big nation that has probably performed at a good level.
And host nation.
Yep. The host nation as well. And they do tend to perform well in Asia. I don't see them going to the final winning it again because it was a shock that they did it the last time.
Yep.
I'd probably still be inclined to say Japan. Dark horse. Oh, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
I've got to think. Look, UAE is always one that you've got to kind of watch out for, although I don't think they've been overly crash hot this tournament.
This is going to be a really silly question, but is Bahrain through?
Bahrain are through.
I think so. I thought so.
But Bahrain, I'm pretty sure, has got to play Japan next.
Huh, okay, no. do we see Tajikistan going far? Could they be the Morocco of the 2022 World Cup?
Oh, you know what? Look, I'll pull up the tree in front of me just so I can visualize who's actually going
to
be.
Yeah, it's tricky when you don't have the tree in front of you to see who's going to play.
Considering how many times I've looked this tree, I don't know how I haven't memorized it.
Yeah.
But I'm in a black hole of internet. That's not going to work.
I know. Sorry. Yeah. I was just about to say the internet.
I can't remember who Tajikistan are playing next up. I can't see them going too far ahead, though.
Usually I'll get Isaac to type it up for us, but sorry.
We could be without a producer.
Socceroos. How far do we see
quarterfinals?
Quarters.
I said it before the tournament as well because I knew we'd be playing Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is probably a dark horse, not dark horse, but they're one of the front runners to win, in my opinion. Yep. Solid defensively, and I think they'll start working out there. They're a side that I can see building into the tournament as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if their side that does end up having something to say about it. But Australia, we should be beating Indonesia once we hit other. And mind you, if it's not Saudi Arabia, we're playing South Korea now. So I don't know where I'd be very, very shocked if we go through. Quarterfinals needs to be a minimum for us. We're a big enough nation that.
Especially in Asia, right? Yeah,
especially in Asia. Like, look, we should be a top four nation in Asia. Unfortunately, we're coming up against another top four nation, no matter who it is, in the next round. So if we get past
second in their groups, right?
South Korea, yes, because they finished second, but we're always going to play Saudi Arabia if they won their group. I was half hoping Thailand would beat them on the last day, so that way there's a potential for an easier run. Yeah. But unfortunately, you know what? Thailand's actually going to be my dark horse prediction. I can't remember who they're playing next.
Thailand.
I think they might play.
They love football. Soccer. They love football. They love it.
I used to work at my old job with a massive group of Thais. I didn't realize they were into football until like 8 months of working with them. But once I started talking about it, they were like, oh my God, we love it. Like, they all support like their English teams or anything. They're not going to support anyone in Australia. But something I've always thought, if an Australian club goes for a player like Super Shai Shai did, we'd be making bank because those Thai players would be paying top dollar to make sure they can see him, and the rights would be going through the roof to be playing back in the country, in Thailand as well. They love their football. They're good at, I think it's the tech ball stuff.
I've heard of it, yes.
So like tech table ball. Tennis, but with football.
That's right. Yeah, tech ball.
They're crazy at it. They're nuts.
Thais.
Yeah, they're really good at indoor as well, at futsal.
Really?
Their technical ability, and you see it in the way they play as well, is off the charts. The only thing that really lets them down is physically they're not as developed as maybe a region as what other countries are. Mm. They're still, on the shorter side, a little bit lanky. So physically Australia will always dominate them.
Yep.
But they're a good technical side.
Yeah.
If they can get past Uzbekistan, no, I wouldn't count them out going too far. Especially saying that them getting past Uzbekistan would probably be a monumental occasion for them too. So they're a side I'd be definitely keeping an eye on. Thailand's my dark horse.
Thailand's your dark horse. Interesting. Very interesting. So Thailand dark horse, and to win?
If I've got to put money on someone, it's still going to be Japan.
Still going to be Japan.
They're too good.
Argentina lost their first game 2-1.
Well, in the group stage. Second game, but Iraq.
But it was still in the group stage. Yeah. That might be their wake-up call they need.
No, you could probably say Iraq's going to be a dark horse simply because their run moving forward is actually pretty, I won't say simple, but easier
less
than what
challenging.
Other
less
challenging. I wouldn't be surprised if we see them in the semi-final.
Interesting. Well, now I know you're going to want to rant about this. Unfortunately, if the podcast went for 4 hours, we could just sit here and talk about this all day. Unite round. Now,
all right, how long we got?
Just explain to everyone listening what the concept of Unite round is, and you were at the game, so take it away. You're now the host.
How many of your followers would follow rugby or AFL?
Rugby league's quite. I've got a few that follow rugby league.
So it's similar to the Magic Round concept. All the games are in one city. All the fans are traveling to one city. The only difference is this was, instead of having it all at the one stadium, they had it spread across three different grounds, across three different days as well. I think Magic Round might be similar.
Yep.
And they had the women's competitions involved in it as well. Big marks for including the women's in as well, because I know a lot of other sports codes in Australia really don't treat their women's competition with the respect they deserve.
Yep.
That's, if there's one thing football gets right in this country, it's how we do women's sports. I think football's by far and away, maybe aside from tennis, but tennis has always kind of been linear in how they operate things.
Yep.
It's hard to kind of match that when it's a systemic thing for them. It's not been a systemic thing in football.
Mm.
The fact that we have done what we can to really push women's football forward in this country, and by, I can't remember the words that comes to my head, but as a follow-on result, it pushes women's sports forward in this country. That's a massive thing. But essentially, we had 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, two doubleheaders each day at different stadiums. So Friday, they had a men's doubleheader at CommBank, a women's doubleheader at Leichhardt. Saturday, there was a women's doubleheader at Leichhardt and a men's doubleheader at Allianz. Sunday, there was two mixed doubleheaders at Allianz and CommBank. In theory, look, it's not an overly bad idea, especially while we're as a football.
The concept's great, in my opinion.
It works well for other sporting codes. The only thing that probably lets it down is the culture of football fans. And I'm sure you can speak to this as well. What would you rather see in football in this country? Would you rather see us have initiatives like this, or would you rather see an equal home and away season with a full football pyramid?
Equal home and away season with football pyramid.
Exactly. Yep. So once that comes into account, you're not going to have things like your night round. In the meantime, I don't mind it, but you've got to get it right as well. I think
of course. You can't just copy and paste what other sports are doing.
And especially when football doesn't have the same following or the same history in terms of the clubs that are playing at the top level now that other codes do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very difficult thing to implement. The rugby does it well because people, especially in Queensland, love rugby league.
Yep.
I'm not an overly massive fan of it. Sometimes I don't get why it's gone.
Fun fact about me, I love it. Absolutely.
You love rugby?
Love watching
Cronulla
it.
Cronulla fan?
No. St. George. Pop played for St. George.
Okay, yeah, that's to be fair. I was going to say, at least St. George is down the road. I was like, if you said something like Bulldogs, I'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
No, what are you doing?
Cronulla's like down the road for you. Just I thought that'd be a pretty basic one, but you know what? Look, fair enough. St. George is like the next suburb ever, isn't it?
Yep.
Fair enough. We're not here to talk about rugby. But there's that culture where people are like, okay, if everything's on in the one weekend, I'm going to go and I'm going to enjoy everything. With Unite Round, the first men's doubleheader was MacArthur and Western. Then the second one was Wanderer City.
Mm-hmm.
MacArthur and Western, average game. Wanderer City, fantastic game. The Wanderers fans didn't rock up until their game started. When the MacArthur and Western game finished, I'm not sure about the Western fans, but a lot of the MacArthur fans left. The fact that there's not that culture, that even though there's a borderline top-of-the-table clash between, not top-of-the-table clash, but City's doing pretty average this season, but two massive clubs and a Wanderers side that's doing really, really well playing after your game and you're still going to leave, it shows that football fans are more invested in what their own team's doing. There's a bit of tribalism when it comes to it. You can agree with that.
Yeah.
And you're obviously a little bit more involved in English football and you see the culture there.
Yep.
Imagine doing a night round in England. People would kill each other.
Mm.
You're right. It's completely different. So I think in that regard, it was always going to be difficult to implement. It comes back to the fact that the only reason why we're doing this is because they needed an alternative to the grand final decision, which was stupid in itself.
Yeah.
You're not going to think about it. MacArthur and Western played in front of, I think it was 2,000 to 3,000 people. That could have been a grand final.
Mm.
Imagine how bad that would have looked. At least this is just a random round 12 game. Like you're picking the lesser of two evils here. And I'm not going to knock the people organizing it because I've got good relationships with some of the people in the APL. I don't want to sit there and trash on what they're trying to do because there's a lot of good people behind the scenes trying to make stuff like this work.
Yep.
But you've got to look at your target market as well. Football fans want a proper season, proper home and away football. Yep. And to an extent,
you've got to get the basics right before you 100%. Go out and do something like this.
Exactly.
And we haven't done that correct yet.
No, football in this country, I said these exact words the last time I was here. Football in this country has a way of shooting itself in the foot.
Yep.
It's really, really weird how they can get, I won't say get so many things wrong, but so many decisions that are made that don't turn out to be in the best interest of the game. I don't know if you've actually heard about this. After the weekend after Unite Round, they called a meeting in the APL to, and a lot of the staff just thought, okay, it's just going to be well done for the implementation of Unite Round. I think 40% of people lost their jobs. They cut down their staff massively.
Wow.
And that's and look, Ooh. To an extent, there was a lot of good people in media, especially that lost their jobs. I don't know specific names off the top of my head, and I'm not going to say specific yep. names even if I did. But it's not just the media department that got thwarted. There was a few people in different other areas, but they had a staff for the A-Leagues in excess of 100 people, from what I read. Oh, it was very similar. The Scottish Premier League, 12 teams, same as Australia, but obviously they're operating on a much larger scale with a much larger target market.
A slightly different format.
Slightly different format, of course.
The point in the season with the top half first and then the bottom half first.
Yep. Because of that, they play a lot more games as well. Yep. They operate with 20 people, 20 employees.
Mm.
We had five times the amount of employees.
Yes.
And look, people wonder why there's no money in football in this country. We're looking to cut back costs. People are saying the A-League's on its knees because of stuff like this. I don't necessarily agree. I think this is just, it's a classic business measure. One, if you're in a position like that where you're spending more money than what you need to, you look at it and go, okay, yep, these people have got to go. Unfortunately, the biggest losers in this situation are the ones that lost their job, because a lot of them were probably living out childhood fantasies going, oh my God, I'm finally got a job in football.
Mm.
And a lot of them were people that had been there for less than 12 months, so they don't get any severance pay or anything like that.
Yeah.
So there's ethical issues there, but the A-League's also got, it's a business, unfortunately. Football is turning into a business. So in that regard, there are issues. And there's decisions that you've got to make that aren't necessarily in the best interest of the people working for you. But as long as decisions are made in the best interests of fans, and in this case, you know, it's maybe reducing the wage bill isn't a bad idea, but it's sad, but it's an unfortunate measure that needed to be taken.
Right? It's cutthroat. Yeah,
it sucks, but you look at, back to your night round, actually, I think I've spoken enough about that because that's a very, very sad topic. I went to the one on the Friday. That was the men's one. So there was obviously the men's and women's doubleheaders on the Friday. Yep. I went to the men's doubleheader on the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I felt like I was at a normal A-League match. That was the one where City were playing after, City and Wanderers were playing after MacArthur Western. It just felt like I was on two different A-League matches. The main difference with me was I was running around between the stadium and the press box trying to get to the press conferences,
yeah.
Which was fun. I think the biggest...
Did you get there?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, so I didn't ask much in those press conferences. The one with Marco Rude, and I kind of got... Well, I didn't get yelled at. My colleague got yelled at. But I asked him about, sent Marco Rude on a three-minute tangent about the state of young players and how they're covered by the media in this country. Nothing to do with what I asked him, by the way.
It was, okay.
I don't know. Do you follow the A-Leagues on social media?
I do follow the A-Leagues.
Did you see the thing about Marco Rude talking about young players possibly moving overseas too early?
I did see I think I did. Can you just describe what some things he was talking about? Because I think I did hear something about that.
He said there's an issue in this country where young players, you know, they see what's written in the media about them. It kind of boosts their ego a little bit. But no one in the media is trying to keep them in check. And the result of that is they end up moving overseas too early. And then they come back.
Yep. Yes.
And he said, like, when he was back in his day, it was like, we got to play 50 to 100 games before we thought about moving overseas. That was in response to one of my questions. I did not ask anything relating to that.
Wow.
I asked him about Alex Bartolotto's character and just if he saw kind of the traits of a senior player in him. And then he went on this massive tangent about, yeah, like go. I'm going on about how that happened. But okay, get back to the game. If, like I said, it felt like I was at a random A-League game in terms of, I went there, I sat in my seat, I watched a game of football. There was nothing else really going on. It didn't feel festive or anything like that. And there wasn't a lot of activation outside. Mind you, if you look at the attendance off of the Wanderers game, Wanderers went the home team, so it won't go on their record. But that was the worst crowd this season at a Wanderers game at CommBank. By maybe a couple of thousand. They were averaging around the 10K mark. And they got 7K for this game. So already it's not a good look.
Also, 12 games, 40,000 in total. Is that correct?
12 games, 42,000 in total. 42. So you're talking about an average of 4,000 a match, which when you include the women's, it probably is a little bit better than it looks.
Yep.
But then again, I was there on the Sunday at Perth and Wellington. I think they got 1.6 thousand people. 1.5 thousand. The women's got 1.6 thousand.
It's a Unite round.
Not really doing a lot of uniting, unfortunately.
No.
But I'll track it back to the women's a lot because I went to the Leichhardt doubleheader on Saturday. Bigger crowds than what a lot of the women's games have experienced this season. I got to meet up with a lot of people that I hadn't seen since the World Cup. A lot of people I knew came from Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a Melbourne team playing when I went to the doubleheader on the Saturday. There were people there generally invested in actually wanting to watch multiple teams. And there's
good on
a
Melbourne.
Different culture around women's football to what there is in men's football where a lot of people when the games changed over, there wasn't anyone trying to leave. Everyone was staying. Everyone was ready to keep watching more football. Yeah. That's probably where the difference lies, where on one half, when you look at it from a women's perspective, the weekend was probably actually a really good success.
Mm.
On the men's side of it,
no,
not at all. So, and like I said, I know some people at the APL. I know there's a lot of people that were putting a lot of effort in to do it. I think even within the APL, there was a sense of we just kind of want to get through it this year, see what kind of works and what doesn't,
yep,
and then make it better next year. I think the biggest thing they'll do next year, it won't just be double headers. I think they'll have more games on a stadium in a day, and it won't be in the middle of summer, so they can start a little bit earlier. Yep. I've heard, not someone from the APL, but one of my colleagues has suggested that they do it for the opening round of the season.
Okay.
Which, when people are starved of football, maybe they'll be more inclined to travel. I've heard some other people say it's not a good idea, but you know, you've got to kind of make peace and find a way to. You're not going to get 100% of people agree on how it works.
No.
When has anyone 100% agreed on something?
When has you got thousands of people say yes to everything?
No one.
Never.
I don't think there's
always one person or more that
I don't think there has ever been a single moment in the history of football where everyone has looked at a decision made in any aspect of football and gone,
and
yep,
everyone yes.
agrees.
Yeah.
Even the Super League. There were some people that were trying to fight for it. This very, a very, very yep. small amount of people.
Yeah, but they were still.
They still exist.
Yep.
But that's what I mean. Like, it can work. You've got, but it's going to be something that they're going to have to start planning from now. Obviously, this, you know, round that just passed, they had 7 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
The marketing around it probably wasn't great. What was on during the day probably wasn't great at all. It wasn't great either. Sorry, probably shouldn't sound too harsh. But there's a building block that I think you can kind of build on. And look, there's good people at the APL. I think there's people that will try and make it a success. But for me, long term, I wouldn't be doing this. I think after maybe next season, the season after, once you're introducing promotion and relegation, you got to kind of cut little things like this. I keep a final series. I don't think there's an issue with that. You find a way to kind of work it into a regular home and away season. If, in my opinion, I actually don't mind the idea of a split season,
yep.
like what they do in Scotland. But you know, split season. You've kind of got a postseason sort of thing, and even if the top two from that end up in a grand final instead of just a final series, yeah. But yeah, look, you're not around. There's a fair bit that I can say around it in terms of there's just like the no activations or anything like that. I went to CommBank that day. It was a ghost town. You didn't really know what was going on. There was less memorabilia or merchandise there. No pregame vibes. No. There was less there than what. There was at a standard Wanderers game. A standard Wanderers game does a lot more to kind of build the hype up around it. So that part of it was really, really frustrating. It was a weekend that I was looking forward to. Mind you, the Friday, I missed my mum's birthday for it. I went to Unite Round instead of going out for dinner with my mum and our family, my fiancé and my fiancé's family.
Wow.
So, look, in that regard, I was probably hoping for
you would have been
more,
public enemy number one for that night?
No, my mum's been, I'm very lucky, my mum's very supportive of things I do, and she knew I wasn't just going there to watch a game, like I was going there to be in the presses as well. Yeah. So, look, in that regard,
that's good.
There's the most I'd seen the press box full, yep. but saying that, obviously I work for Front Page Football,
yep.
there were seven people in the press box. Joey Lynch, who's the number one football writer in this country, or if he's not the number one, he's very, very close to it. He obviously came up. There was the two Melbourne teams playing, so he was going to cover that. Then there was one guy, I think he might have been from Brisbane or something. I didn't really know who he was. George Clark from the APL. The other four guys in the room were all Front Page Football guys. We had five or six writers in Sydney that weekend.
Mm.
And I think only two of them are actually from Sydney. So we had a few guys come from interstate to cover it.
Awesome.
So in that regard, like, it was good seeing people, but
yeah.
I definitely was hoping for a little bit more from the weekend, which maybe it's me being picky, but I think a lot of people agree.
Yep. There you go. Before we get into English football, describe in one word what Australian football is like at the moment. I know I say stuff like this and it's a big, you need to think of the right word, but.
Can I use a phrase?
Yes, or hyphenated word, whatever.
It's a toxic relationship.
Toxic relationship. Okay.
It's
the vicious cycle.
It's something that I love Australian football. You know, you see my stuff. You know, I am one of the biggest advocates of Australian football.
You live and breathe it. Yep.
That you can find. There are some parts of it that really, really, really aggravate me. And look, there's even things outside of Australian football. It's like a toxic relationship where you're not going to listen to anyone that tells you it's bad or makes the relationship worse for you.
Yep.
There's things about Australian football that I love. I love I genuinely believe it produces some of the best storylines in world football. some of the best, I won't say the best attacking displays, but goals per game a lot higher than what you see in a lot of other places. The only thing is when you get people that genuinely don't want anything to do with Australian football, even in our own country, they'll sit there and go, oh, but that means the defence isn't good. Then you see a game with good defending, it's like, oh, where's the goals? You can't win. Yeah. And to that, I will fight it till I'm blue in the face that it can be entertaining. It's not always going to be the most quality football that you see, but it's genuinely entertaining. There was a period between 27. I don't know if you've heard the phrase peak A-League.
Peak A-League, I have heard, yeah.
You get some really, really weird shit that happens in Australian football, and sometimes it's really funny. There was a New Year's game. Well, obviously, it was on Gosford because that's when they play the New Year's football. There was a guy that ran on the field on crutches in a moon boot, got over an advertising. I don't know if he was able to climb over an advertising board. So there's a good to fair chance he's gone the long way around an advertising board and right next to the goal mouth. No one noticed. You get really weird shit that happens, and it just blows your mind. And, you know, as much as there may be things outside of football, it's just like, it's just another day in the A-League.
There you go.
There was even another New Year's game. It always happens on New Year's, this weird shit.
Well, you see, the thing with A-League games, right, and this is a good thing because it's very unpredictable. One game can be 0-0 and the next game can be 5-4.
And that's between the two same teams.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Look, it helps. I'm not saying going to help that I have salary cap because I really don't like salary cap. But the fact that the teams are very, very even, you can't switch off for a game. It could be first v 10th, and 10th is always in it.
Yep.
You look at Wellington would be winning the league at the moment, or Victory is ahead by a point because they drew last night. Victory could go to Western United. Western United is still in that game. There's not much difference in quality between the two teams.
Yeah.
In that regard, I do like the fact that it is a very even league. I think people say it's because of the salary cap. It's not. It's just that we're so used to watching sides competitions like Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, where you get a couple super teams that are able to separate themselves from the rest of the world. You look at the championship. The championship's not salary capped or anything like that. No. It's one of the most dog-eat-dog competitions in the world.
Yep.
I generally view the championship as the top flight of English football because the Premier League, for me, is basically a super league at this point.
Yeah,
the fact that a club like Bournemouth can outspend Champions League level clubs in Spain and Germany, who are the next best leagues in the world, there's an inherent issue with that. It's not like I'm not going to sit here and say the Premier League needs to do something about it. It's something of their own making. It's not like they were given a whole lot of money and went, okay, we're going to spread this around. They've made the money themselves.
Yep.
But the way the Premier League is at the moment, it is kind of ruining a lot of football around the world. It sounds a bit rude to say, but
no. I get what you mean.
It's a tough one. But back to Australian football as well, you can compare it to leagues like the Championship, where it can be a bit dog eat dog. You never know where you're going to get week in, week out. You could have a side that's on a 10-15 game undefeated streak, and then they'll go and lose 4-0, and then they'll go the rest of the season undefeated.
Mm.
It's really, really bizarre. Crazy. It's really crazy like that. There was a season Sydney FC lost one game all year. It was to their biggest rivals, West Sydney Wanderers, and Wanderers came like 9th or 10th that year.
Yeah.
So you generally don't know what you're going to get.
And it's a mixed bag.
It's a beautiful thing like that, but then there's decisions that are made, unfortunately not always within football, that ruin a lot of it. You get, obviously, some of the things around United. I think the biggest thing that frustrated people was the thing with the live site that they were meant to have at the Socceroos game against India. They were meant to have it in Eastern Quarter on one of the big screens. I got there 2 minutes before the game was meant to start. Cricket was still on. There was a couple of people on the from the APL there on their phones trying to work out what was going on. Turns out the switchboard, because it was raining that day, the switchboard got water in it, and it affected their ability to change channel. People kind of sat there and went, oh, this is a stupid reason. But I was near the guys that were on the phone with the APL and the Eastern Quarter guy that kind of came around and said, yep, can't change it. Sorry, guys. And even they were sitting there like, fuck, we know this is going to come back on us in a bad way. So in that regard, I do feel bad for some people that are trying to work really, really hard. And you know what, considering some of the negative attention that's gotten around that, I feel like it should really be put out there that there was people from the APL trying to make sure that game got on, and it genuinely couldn't, and that's an Eastern Quarter issue. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know if people like that have the best interests of football at heart.
Yeah.
And even last night in the Big Blue, you have the issue with VAR. I don't know if you watched that game, but
I saw it, and I think it was 1-1.
It's 1-1.
When I was watching then I got the Liverpool news. So yeah,
that's one way to distract a guy. Yeah. But there was an issue with Patrick Wood. I didn't actually watch the goals. I started watching in the middle of this VAR call. This whole time, I thought they were talking about it, looking for a possible red card for a foul on Patrick Wood. And I was like, oh, Miranda or Traore haven't really done anything. I don't see why they're going to get a red card. Then I saw them get the red out, and I was like, oh, okay, that's harsh. Then I saw it was Patrick Wood that got the red card, and I was just like,
what? Yeah.
I thought he was the one that got fouled. Obviously, looking back on it, I can see he got Traore's foot a little bit. But
what is he supposed to do?
Exactly.
It's a 50-50.
Exactly. It's a 50-50. He's got eyes for the ball. If Traore's foot comes out of nowhere, you can't help it. It's
a non-contact sport.
And it speaks back to an issue with VAR. This happens around world football. I'm not saying this is inherently an Australian football issue. But I don't know how much. I don't know if you know how much it costs to implement VAR for a season.
Inform me.
From what I know, to implement it for a season, it's $1.5 million. That is a ridiculous amount of money.
For VAR.
For VAR. And I'm sure you can agree with me. It doesn't improve anything in football.
No.
It sucks.
Well, okay, just sorry for 1 second. Obviously, with the League Cup and the FA Cup, depending on what teams you verse, there's no VAR. So, for example, in the League Cup semi-finals, it was Chelsea, Middlesbrough, Fulham, and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because Middlesbrough are there and they don't have the facilities for VAR. There's no VAR for all those games.
So they don't do it for all the games.
Yeah.
But
just to keep it fair.
That's, that's cool. I was going to say if they didn't do it for one game.
It is so much better to now watch a game where if a goal goes in, it's a goal.
And no one has to worry about it.
Wrong or right. Doesn't matter. And then you can go, yeah, but they will get it right with VAR. No, they don't. Sometimes they still get it wrong. And it just causes arguments.
I know there was the issue with the Liverpool-Tottenham game where there was a genuine offside.
Which one?
It was genuinely onside and they still
genuinely.
Gave it. It's an issue that comes around with VAR, but that's also a one in a million mistake. This is someone that has waved play on because he didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Gone back to it because someone was just down injured. Go and see on VAR, and you're seeing it five times over in slow motion, and then a picture of the actual contact. Of course, it's going to look bad.
Of course.
But you see someone's foot on top of a leg without any context, of course, you're going to think it's a red card.
Yeah. But you need to put it into context. That's what the refs don't do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it annoys the living hell out of me. I can't stand VAR at all, but when you look at it specifically in Australian football, the A-League women's don't have it. There's mistakes that get made, and look, maybe there are things that VAR would fix, but the way that it's used in other leagues in the world, I don't actually think that it will fix a lot of refereeing issues. And I'm not even going to say that this is an issue with Australian football referees, because there are some good referees in Australia, but the system that they're having to use to actually referee games and the way they're having to operate is not doing themselves any favours.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing that really, really annoys me. And the fact that we're spending $1.5 million a season on it to implement it.
In Australia, where we don't have the money.
We don't have the money to do it.
Yep.
I would much rather that money either go to setting up a National Youth League again or making the A-League Women's professional.
Yep.
It would make things a hell of a lot easier. I could do without VAR. And I'm sure a lot of people in Australian football would be able to do with VAR. I still remember, this is a couple of years ago now, there was a game between Mariners and Melbourne City. Lewis Miller, who's actually in the Australian Asian Cup squad now, is doing really well at Hibernian. He got trotted on in the box. Referee waved play on, missed it. Blatant penalty. And I was like, okay, beautiful. We're going to see a good use of VAR. They're going to see it. They're going to realise it should be a penalty straight away. Yep. And they're going to give it. And maybe there'll be some faith restored in the system. They looked at it for 5 minutes, standing there. It was the 87th minute when it was called, when they went over to, so not even when the foul happened, when they first went over to the screen, maybe the 88th, they didn't get back onto the field until the 93rd.
Yeah,
and then they upheld, and then they upheld the decision and didn't give the penalty.
Ugh.
So after all that, they still got it wrong. And there was a point where Patrick Hisnorbo was screaming at the referee, going, I don't care what decision you make at this point,
just make a decision.
One. Yep. And obviously they end up making the wrong one. Lewis Miller, who, mind you, had to be subbed off, borderline broken leg, had an ice pack around where the contact was happening. You could see him mouthing off on the screen, what's the point of VAR? That's what I mean. Like, it's getting to a point where it's useless money being spent out.
Yep.
That's still scratching the surface of some issues in Australian football. You talk about the disconnect between players, not players and fans, between clubs and fans. There was obviously the issue with the grand final decision that happened last year. There's people that are trying to restore it, but just in general, there's a lot of things that happen in this country in football, even at a state fed level when with the National Second Division is coming around.
Yep.
There's pressure on, I think Football Queensland's the one that's putting pressure on their clubs to make sure they don't try and put forward for it.
Yep.
We need a National Second Division to be able to grow football in this country. Queensland, it was very fine print when they put out their 2024 regulations. They said if any club from Queensland puts themselves forward into the National Second Division and gets relegated, they won't be relegated to the top of Queensland.
Down,
they'll
right?
be relegated to the bottom of the pyramid. Mm. Seventh tier of Queensland football. By then, it'll be the ninth tier of Australian football.
Yeah.
To go from the seventh to the ninth because they won't be happy that they've gone to another league.
Mm.
It happened. It's funny because it's history repeating itself. Football Victoria tried to do the same thing when the NSL was created. And of all clubs, it was a small, I think, a Dutch club called Marulbark that broke the cycle and made sure that clubs that they were like, okay, yeah, we're going to go into the NSL. We don't care what anyone else says. And then South Melbourne followed, and then a couple other clubs followed. I think Melbourne Knights might have been one of them. But all through Australian football, there's definitely inherent issues that come around, and that's not even talking about the external issues that hold the game back in this country.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's do the Premier League, or aka Cody's Super League. Let's do our score predictions. We'll do like a quick fire, so I'll give you the matches. You say your score, I say my score. We'll go back and forth, if that sounds good with you.
Yeah.
Also, just so I'll cut this bit out. After we finish the episode, do you want to do like a 5-minute short on Jurgen Klopp?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do like a 5-minute short so I can just chuck it on Insta.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. And here we are, game one of the next round, Manchester City-Burnley.
I'm actually a little bit behind on the form guide, so this is going to be some very off-the-cuff predictions.
That's
but
all
you
right.
know what? In 2011, we had a rugby tipping competition for my class at school. The person that won it, I don't think I watched a single game of rugby that year. I half believe that she was picking teams based on what colours were better.
Yeah.
And she ended up winning the tipping competition. So this might actually work out well for me. Man City-Burnley. I'm going to go, Haaland's still out injured, isn't he? Is he coming back? Is he still injured?
I think he's still injured. I think Pep said 2 games or something.
I'm still going to go 3-0 City.
Yeah, I'll go. I reckon
Alvarez will pull up a
3-0 City.
A couple goals.
Ange versus Brentford.
It's at Tottenham, right?
Yeah. Sorry, Ange isn't playing. Tottenham Hotspur versus Brentford.
Yeah, it's at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium though, right?
Yep.
Was this the opening game of the Premier League season as well? I remember Tottenham playing someone really weird.
Yes, it was Brentford, correct? And it was a draw.
The second time I've had to predict it.
It was a draw, 2-2.
This one ain't going to be a draw. I reckon Spurs win 4-0.
I need a 3-1.
I know Son's not back yet, but I just have a feeling that...
Richarlison's flicked a switch as well, so yeah.
Well, I mean, he's playing under Ange.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Best manager in the world.
Well, come June, yes, when Klopp leaves. Liverpool v Chelsea.
Liverpool, oh, fuck. You know what? There's been so many Liverpool-Chelsea games that have either been like 1-0, 0-0, 1-0.
The draws.
It's been really, really distasteful and boring.
It's at Anfield, though.
It's at Anfield. I'll go 1-1. You know what, actually? There's been the news about Klopp as well.
First
maybe 1-0. 1-0.
Yep.
Those games
they're
end
always
up being,
close, right?
They're not always close. They're always really boring.
Yeah, it's like a chess game, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really is.
I'm going to go 2-0 or 2-1.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be close, but it's at Anfield. And with the context of what's just happened.
Yeah, of course.
I think Liverpool will take the cake.
Yeah.
West Ham, Bournemouth, aka who cares? I'm joking. Sorry.
I'll tell you what, Bournemouth have more money somehow than some other clubs in Spain and Italy and Germany. Yep. So, you know, there's someone caring about it.
Yeah.
Bill Foley's magic pockets, who he'll actually be an A-League owner come next season, to be fair, which is really interesting.
Well, Bournemouth won 5-0 yesterday against Swansea in the FA Cup.
Do they have a full strength squad?
Solanke played. Yeah. And
he's someone that's had a really
Sinisterra.
Interesting turnaround.
Yeah, he's had a great turnaround, hasn't he?
It's at West Ham. I might go 2-2.
I'll go 2-2 too.
A bit of excitement.
Yep. Okay, Wolves versus Manchester United, a.k.a. Old Trafford.
Oh, a.k.a. Old Trafford or at Old Trafford.
Sorry, I tried to make a joke and it was really shit. Wolves, yeah, I'm hit and miss with my jokes. Wolves versus Manchester United.
I think this is more of a who's care game. Who cares game?
I think so. That's a who's care. Has-beens.
Oh,
2-1 the Wolves.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 Wolves.
Yep.
I just like seeing Man United lose.
Oh, it's almost better than watching Liverpool win.
It's one of life's greatest pleasures.
Like, seriously, I actually think sometimes I enjoy watching Man United lose more than Liverpool winning.
Look, I can't say I enjoy it that much, but it does bring a smile to my face.
It just, Yeah, it's just so good. It's great. It's like against Forest the other day. They all thought, oh, Hoytland got his first goal. They're going to come back. You know, they're back. Reversing Nottingham Forest and then losing Nottingham Forest. It's just
a shame. I actually really thought Hoytland would be this really, really amazing striker.
I think he would be in a different team, but yeah.
Yeah, Man United has a way of cursing players, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's playing more like Sean Millis.
Nottingham Forest, Arsenal.
Nottingham Forest, Arsenal. I'm going to go 2-1 Arsenal. Arsenal have a weird way of struggling in games they really should win. But
I'll be psychic. Like, that was what I was going to say too. 2-1 Arsenal.
Nah, look, honestly, I do think Arsenal will be mounting a title challenge, especially as the season goes on. I think they'll be really pushing for it. But
yep.
I can't see him blowing the team away.
Fulham-Everton.
Fulham-Everton. Fuck, this is a who cares game.
It is.
This is just too irrelevant.
It's team. A Fulham, so I'll go nil-nil.
Relegate Everton already, nil-nil. Man. They're getting
Oh, hey, you know what? After that point deduction, Everton have played really good football.
Didn't they get a second point deduction?
They're about to, and so are Forest.
So every time, Sean Dyche at the start of the season was like, yep, I've pushed Everton out of this relegation scrap. Take some points off me. I want to go in this again. He's gotten out of that, and he's like, you know what? Let's go round three.
Mm-hmm.
This man is literally the definition of I asked my boss for a pay cut to show how much I grind.
Yeah.
I butchered the joke, but you get what I mean.
Yep.
He's fucking hilarious. But I'll go
one,
coach.
1-1.
1-1. You know what? I'll go 2-0 Everton.
2-0 Everton. Solid. Okay. Luton versus Brighton. I think that's an all right match because at Kenilworth Road, it's always challenging.
I love Luton. Honestly, I know last time I came here, I said I'd be very surprised they didn't come last. They've been doing brilliantly this season for what they have.
Yep.
They're a side that really makes me love football.
Yep.
Because it's a side that, it's a proper story. Yep. You come up to a new league, you don't have as much funds as everyone else, but you find a way to make it work.
Yep.
And even though I think they're still in the relegation zone, right? Or they might be out of...
If they get one more win or draw, I think they could just be out of it.
Yes, yeah, so they're yep. petering on actually
getting out of relegation
in the yep. Premier League. That's fucking nuts.
Yep.
And considering their ground's still, you know, I won't say substandard. It's a proper suburban ground. It's not a refurbished stadium.
No,
not what we're pushing
nothing
for.
Flash.
Not what we're pushing for in Australia. Where we've got to play in big fancy stadiums, which fucking suck.
Yep.
It's like going to Marconi.
Yep.
Marconi, I fucking love Marconi. Best stadium in Australia, the Palace. Mm. There's a reason why they call it the Palace. But they're playing Brighton?
Yes.
Brighton are really hit and miss as well, aren't they?
At the moment they are. Yeah. I'm going to go 2-1 Brighton.
You know what? I'm going to go 1-0 Luton.
1-0 Luton. All right.
1-0 Luton.
Fair enough. Crystal Palace, Sheffield. Who cares?
No, I'll tell you what, I do feel for Crystal Palace. I know there's been some issues in terms of the ownership, say, recently. Mind you, Hoy Rodgson, I think, needs to retire, not because he's a poor manager or anything, but that guy's 74 years old. Spend time with your grandkids, man. Come on.
Exactly right. Exactly. Well, Graham Potter might be getting a job.
The Crystal Palace job?
Perhaps. You know because what? He was seen in the, watching their last game. I think they lost 5-0 to Arsenal. But
I wouldn't
Roy
even
might be going.
Yeah, you know what? Look, for him, he's done a lot in the game of football in England. He's someone I think should retire of his own will. And when I say that, he should retire. Like I said, the guy's 74. Spend time with your family. If you don't have I mean this with as little disrespect as possible. Yep. You don't have many years left on this earth.
Yep.
Enjoy them. Don't waste your time at Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to 2-0 Sheffield.
2-0 Sheffield.
And that's when Graham Potter will come in.
You know what? I actually wouldn't be surprised because Sheffield have got to get themselves out of relegation scrap as well. Maybe 1-0.
Okay, 1-0. Good game this. Last game. Aston Villa, Newcastle.
I love Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll rephrase that. I love Unai Emery.
Yep.
It really annoyed me, the amount of the treatment that he got at Arsenal.
Yep.
Someone
he didn't get enough time.
Was,
and
Maybe not enough time. Maybe just didn't fit the culture, but I feel like he was always up against it.
Yep.
Someone that my family's from Sevilla. I saw firsthand what he was able to do at that club. Fantastic coach. Fantastic person as well. Someone that deserves every bit of success that he's getting. I'm going to go...
3-3 for me.
Fuck, I'm not going that high scoring. I reckon maybe 3-1 Aston Villa.
3-1 Aston Villa.
I want to see Aston Villa make the Champions League. I don't know who they take, but I don't know who's what they'll take in that regard. But I want to see them. I want to see them, and I want to see Tottenham make Champions League.
There you go. Very good.
So it means one of Arsenal, Man City have got to go out because Liverpool they need a spot there too.
Oh yes, they need the spot at the top, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me on another episode. I'm sure this won't be the last time. you're on Inside Right. Well,
next time you want to hear me ranting about the ins and outs of Australian football, man.
Yep, exactly right.
You know I can talk all day.
I haven't
even started talking about the external stuff yet. Bring me that. Needs
I know,
to show
we'll,
its own.
We'll do a part three, I'm sure. I'm very sure. Speaking of Oceanian football really quickly, tomorrow I'm going to go and watch that American Samoa film. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I really want to see it. I've just got to find the time, really. Apparently Archie Thompson's in it.
Archie, is he?
I don't know if he's in, but at the very least, obviously, his highlights against American Samoa are in it. But I don't know if he makes an appearance. I heard someone say they saw him in the movie. So I don't know if they meant they saw his goals or if he's actually an actor in it. I really hope he's an actor. Please tell me. Because okay, if he is, I am buying the next ticket that I can to watch it.
All right. Well, I'll let you know how the movie goes, but also the game in the movie. Thank you very much, Cody.
Cheers.
See you next time.